Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Leave everything to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, cryings, grace, grace unto thee. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. All right, so we're back in their time now. We were looking at some prophecy there. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches, which through the golden pipes emptied the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Interesting. Have you not read the rest of the book? You would not get any meaning out of that. Mm-mm. There were two men taken from this world before death. Enoch. The third from Adam? So third or fourth from Adam?
Right.
He walked with God, which means his heart followed after God. And after 300 some years, he was no more, for God took him. Too good to be here? In some ways, because the world was turning bad, really bad. But God had a mission for him. And you'll find him again, not by the name Enoch, but it is him. You'll find him again in Revelation, one of the two witnesses that stand in Jerusalem before the God of the earth after he has proclaimed himself God, after Antichrist goes into the third temple, which is rebuilt during the first half of the tribulation period, declares himself God, and these men stand in front of him and say he is not God. And Antichrist has full control of this world to an extent, and he can do nothing against these two men.
He can watch the fire coming out of their mouth.
Yes. Anyone that tries to harm these men, fire comes out of their mouths and devours them.
I completely believe that too.
Oh, absolutely. And the other man is Elijah, who was taken up in a chariot of fire, fiery horses and two charioteers. Too good to be here? No, Elijah proved that he followed God mostly with his heart, but was very scared of Jezebel at times. Mm-hmm. But God needed another one. So it's Enoch and Elijah are these two that will stand before the God of this world during the last days. You got to read this book in its entirety over and over again, and even obscure things like this. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. If you never read anything in this book, Jonathan, what would that mean to you?
Yeah, it would just be a mystery of saying, what is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Just you got to read it. Yeah. Read it, read it, read it. Chapter 5, book of Zechariah. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. Oh.
UFO?
Actually, a scroll.
Yeah.
And it's just cruising along like a flying carpet. Most of it's rolled up. It's got a little tail behind it waving.
Almost like the hand on the wall.
Yeah, very similar. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying scroll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. And said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. The word of God, the wrath of God. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. Everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. And the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah, a bushel container that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. Let's go back to that flying scroll there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
That is a curse. God's word will be a curse on mankind. And this is end days prophecy, but God's word is a curse on mankind now that do not follow him with all their heart. But he says it will go and dwell with them.
It seems like it's just an idea that came to me, but it seems like it's kind of pointed towards the false preachers and stuff like that, or the prosperity.
Oh, yes, swear by my name.
Right?
Yes.
Those that are out
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Good catch there. And the stealing. And then let's read that finger. Let's read that again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. Everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I can see that as not the stealing of silver or gold.
Right.
The stealing of souls.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, exactly what you said. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. Enter right into Satan's house.
Mm-hmm.
It shall remain in the midst of his house and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. The word of God will prevail in the last days. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the epith. And he said, This is wickedness, and he cast it into the midst of the epith, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. And lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the epith between the earth and the heaven. Now, this is a very difficult vision to understand. A stork is an unclean bird to begin with. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whether do these bear the epith? Who are these that are carrying this bushel basket with the lead rock on top of it? He said unto me, To build it in a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set thereupon her own base. If any of y'all figure out what that exactly means, please send me a note on WVFFradio.com, because that one has eluded me for centuries now. Chapter 6, Book of Zechariah. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses, in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horse which are therein go forth unto the north country, and the white horse go forth after them, and the grizzled go forward toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go, that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth.
The four horsemen?
No, not the fourth horseman. The four charioteers.
Right. So foreshadowing almost.
Yeah, one is a different color from the horseman.
Gotcha.
Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity, even of Heladah, of Tobiah, and of Jedidiah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go unto the house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah, and take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the heads of Joshua the son of Jozadak the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. So not talking about a temple built by hands.
Mm-mm.
This is Christ.
It just made me think of the prophecy of Christ coming from the book of Isaiah, where it says that the seed of Jesse would come forth as a tender branch.
Branch, yes. Called the branch. Yep. That's exactly right. You got to read the whole book. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Christ's last days, end days prophecy, millennial period. And the crown shall be to Halem, and to Tobijah, and to Jedidiah, and to Hen, the sons of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, if ye will follow me with all your heart, if ye will keep my first everlasting covenant that I gave to your father Abraham. Follow me with all your heart. It's that easy, Christian. Book of Zechariah, chapter 7. It came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius. This is 2 years later from when Zechariah first gave a prophecy. So these, don't think that this is all one dream that he had. This is compiled over the life of Zechariah and put into the book. Fourth year of Darius, that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu, when they had sent unto the house of the God of God, Sheazar and Regimelech and their men to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? They're inquiring of the law because the law was lost. So he sent two men to the newly built house of God, to these priests who are supposed to know the law, but we looked through past episodes that the law was totally lost. They found an ancient book one day, brought it to the king, and the king says, oh, this is the book of the law that I've heard about. Let's see what's in it. Oh, we don't do that. We never do that. Oh, we shouldn't be doing that other thing.
Go put it back over there. It's a doorstop.
No, he actually tried to. And the next king says, forget about that old book they found. It was so much more fun in the land before they found that book. So this guy's inquiring, are we doing it right?
Mm-hmm.
And came to the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years did ye at all fast unto me, even to me. This religious stuff is nonsense. The whole time you were in Babylon, yeah, you were keeping these fasts as much as you could remember. But why? Or is it because of me? You wanted to please me? Or was it because it's something we're supposed to do on this day of this month? You got to be careful with religion, Christian. Religion will stumble you. God hates religion. God wants to have a personal relationship with you through his son Christ, the intermediate. You no longer need a priest. You do not need religion. Religion tells you, you must do this. And that's what he's saying here. You must do this on this day and this hour. You must do this. You must do that. God forbid you go into the church with a muscle shirt on. You know, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
God doesn't want that. He wants you to have a personal relationship with him. Forget the religion. Like when the Israelites... Go ahead, John.
Oh, no. I was going to say, I just saw this, because you brought this back to mind, and I've meant to look this up repeatedly as I've heard this, but it's in the book of Amos under chapter 5. I despise your feast days.
Yeah.
And I will not smell your solemn assemblies.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate your religion because your religion lost sight of me.
Right. He's literally saying that to them.
Yeah. When they were going through their religious customs with him in their heart, they were doing it to please him. It was okay then, because it was a guidepost. The law is a guidepost to get you to follow God with all your heart. And once you understand that, then you leave the religion behind. You leave the law behind. Christ was never under the law. He wants a personal relationship with you. To obey is better than religion. To obey is better than sacrifice, is what the Bible says. That was an excellent example. Yes, I despise these religious antics that you do because I am not on your mind. What's on your mind is
doing it.
It's going to take 2 hours to get through this Sunday morning church. Man, the preacher's long-winded today. Come on.
College football is just kicking off.
Yeah. And when did ye, when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Yes. All of that religion that was designed into the Levitical law was designed because those people did not want to follow God with all their heart. It was designed to remind them of God. Do this in remembrance of me. Every time you do it, remember me. And if we do it enough, which the law is very repetitive, if we do it enough, maybe your mind will understand that I want to commune with you. And once I begin to commune with you, this stuff can fall away because I really don't care about this stuff, he says. I want to commune with you.
It was a personal relationship.
Personal relationship. Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets? When Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity and cities there round about hear her? When men inhabited the south of the plain? And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears, and they should not hear. Let's read this again. Verse 9. This is your guidepost to a relationship with God. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment. Be true in everything that you say. Execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion. And if you go back to Levitical law, that is charity, mercy, and compassion. Every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow nor the fatherless. And the word widow and fatherless there is in place of the poor and the weak. If you're bigger than him, don't hurt him. If you're more wealthy than him, don't put taxes on him. Treat your neighbor as you would treat yourself. The stranger nor the poor. A Christian should never meet a stranger. We are all God's children. Some of us are just afar off from him.
A family member that you haven't met yet.
Yes, yeah. Cousin, four times removed.
That's it?
Yes. The stranger nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil. Imagine evil, not even just do it. God forbid you do evil against your neighbor. Don't even imagine it in your heart because you are sinning. I don't care what your neighbor done. Sure, his trash bin tumped over and blew all over your yard, and he did not clean it up. Huh. I had to go over there and smash his windshield out. You know what? Yeah, sure, he should have cleaned it up, but you're sinful for thinking about smashing his windshield.
Dog keeps pooping in my yard.
Yes, he does. All the time. And he knows it. I know he's seen that dog do that.
Yeah, he sends him over here.
I shoot that dog with a BB gun next time. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears, and they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. And the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Yes, they were carried away into Babylon. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear. Ah, interesting, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what? If you're not following God with all your heart, or as much as you can foster, he's not going to hear when you cry out to him. It just says that right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I once knew an old man, didn't believe in God. Asked him why. He said, when I was in the war, I prayed for my friends and they all died anyway. It's so sad. The only prayer, the first prayer that God's going to hear from the sinner is the prayer asking for forgiveness. Once you have established a father-son relationship, then he'll hear your prayers. Christ will intermediate your prayers. And depending on how you are following him with all your heart, is what priority those prayers will have when they get to the Father's throne. You know, if you're just barely getting by under the name Christian, he's not on your mind any time but 20 minutes on Sunday. You know, and some days you shouldn't even be called by the name of Christian in public because it might not look too good. Those prayers aren't going anywhere. They have a priority of, what, -6? You know, on a scale 1 to 100? You know, you get up every day, you'd be the best person that you can be, and God will judge your heart. You know, sure, you'll fail. We all do. But how grand do you fail? That's a matter of the heart. Do you get weak on some days? Lots of prophets did. Elijah got weak and failed right after a great victory. We all do it. Sometimes it's a matter of whether the flesh is tired.
I think Elijah ran away because of Jezebel having the sexual spirit that she did, because you think about how she actually rose through the ranks to actually take over.
Oh, yes. And all that. Yeah, we talked about that.
She had a draw, and I think that he didn't think that he could overcome. And this is just a thought now.
She had a powerful spirit.
Right. Yeah. And he thought that he would fall carnality with her.
But the day before,
right.
He wasn't afraid of anything.
There wasn't anything on earth. He was the only one in the whole land that was still connected, so to speak.
And then we talked about lack of food, and then he went several days' journey. The body was tired. Mm-hmm. You know, when the body gets tired, it says things to you.
Right.
I don't want to do this. You know, you ever been tired and you have to do something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I don't want to do this. And the spirit man is not that one saying, oh, man, I don't want to do this.
It's like a little kid. You start throwing a temper tantrum and,
You
know, shut the door a little bit extra hard when you're going out. Absolutely, man.
So you think about this, Christian. Next time you get on your knees and you ask for something from your Father, have I been following him with all my heart? Have I been making an effort? If the answer is no, the only prayer you should be saying is, please forgive me, Lord. Mm-hmm. Help me to be stronger. Yes, if you have a good or a mediocre relationship with him, you're trying your hardest at that time, you tell him what you want. You tell him what you need. Although he knows already, sometimes it makes it easier to come out of our own mouths, but God will know. If you just praise him at that time, he'll know what you need and what you want, depending on how you're following him with all of your heart, whether he will grant it or grant part of it. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passeth through nor returned. For they laid the pleasant land desolate. And that is the final chapter of Israel in 70 AD right there. It went from he had them carried away because they drew away from him. And then they drew away from him again for the last time. And he's bringing them back. In 1948, he's brought them back. But that chapter 14, and Zechariah jumps all over the place. And it's all the time we have here today. Being good to be here with you on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. WVFF 97.7. Consider your heart, Christian. Because if your heart's not good, God will not hear you. He says so right there in verse 12. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.